It's Life and Taxes here on the Talk Station FM 107.1. And joining us this afternoon, we have Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins. And just to remind you, don't hesitate to give him or any of the staff there at Harvell and Collins a call. 252 area code 726-9050, 726-9050. Go online to their website at Harvell and, spell out the word hand, please, harvellandcollins.com. And you can reach out to Andrew Foster at afoster@harvellandcollins.com. So with that introduction, Andrew, good afternoon. And what's happening in the world of life and taxes?
Good afternoon, Lockwood. Well, for the listeners today, we have a tax court case that just came out last month. And, you know, we try to use these tax court cases, Lockwood, as illustrative examples of what to do or possibly what not to do.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you find yourself in these situations, today we have what I will call a cautionary tale. So we're going to get into the what not to do relative to claiming a charitable contribution. And this case today, spoiler alert, doesn't go the taxpayers' way and really shows you that there are strict requirements when it comes to making a charitable contribution. And if you do not abide by those requirements, the tax court, we've said it a number of times in this program, Lockwood, the tax court is a court of laws. It is not a court of equity. And what that means is that every Internal Revenue Code statute, every regulation which interprets those statutes is what's going to rule the day at the tax court. It doesn't matter whether the sympathies, quote unquote, are on your side, and I'll say they're not even on the taxpayer's side in this case.
Right.
But the reality is that, you know, you get some harsh verdicts at the tax court because, you know, you really have to look at those, the statutes, and you really have to look at the regulations and know that they are going to be strictly construed when it comes to any type of decision. We've had so many cases, Lockwood, as you know, where I've had to tell our listeners there's a really bad line in these cases where it says, I sympathize with the taxpayer's plight, but as we remember, the tax court is a tax court of, a court of laws, not a court of equity, therefore we can't take that into consideration. So there's some harsh decisions that come down. This one, unfortunately, for the taxpayer, I think the tax court got right, but it did cost them a $5.2 million charitable deduction on their taxes. Yeah, so that's significant because, as you know, deduction is going to offset your taxable income. That's going to make a huge difference when it comes to paying a tax bill, and we talked about it before.
Right.
Penalties and interest. And if you understate your income by a certain amount, there's an accuracy penalty as well. So these taxpayers are suffering, a heavy defeat. But I will say it's at the hands of their own making. When we get into the facts and circumstances.
You know, this is
important. So one thing.
Well, this is a really important issue, Andrew, because in some instances, obviously, the intention of the donor is to give money. And to in the process, and I'm preempting this with just an observation, and in the process may actually give the money, only to discover that after they've given the money, it does not follow tax law, and they are now faced with additional expenses because in many instances, if the donor has given the money, they're not going to be asking for that money back. It would be, well, embarrassing and a little discomforting too. So begin this program, I think, in this conversation, I hear you. I think this is very important. I'm curious about the details. I apologize for that interruption, by the way, with our program here, Life and Taxes with Andrew Foster. Andrew, I apologize.
No problem, Lockwood. Definitely good insight there. I want to get into a couple rules before we get into the facts of the case.
Okay.
So two rules that come into play here relative to charitable contributions. And remember, charitable contributions, Lockwood, could be as easy as putting a check in an offering plate,
right,
you know, at church.
Mm-hmm.
Charitable contributions could be putting that money in the red bucket
mm-hmm.
For the Salvation Army at Christmas time. Or it could be more complicated. In this case, it's a little bit more complicated because you can deal with what are called non-cash contributions.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're dealing with non-cash contributions, in this case, it's going to be real property that's going to be donated. Those requirements mean that you need to have what's called a qualified appraisal.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes very critical in this particular case. And a qualified appraisal basically is to set the value of your contribution to the charity. And, you know, that, again, strictly construed, if you can't meet the definition of a qualified appraisal, then, you know, Houston, we have a problem. So that becomes very important in this particular case. The other thing I'll say is if you give a charity more than $250, then you need to get a contemporaneous written acknowledgement from that charity. And we've been through this rule before, Lockwood. The contemporaneous written acknowledgement needs to include, you know, the amount of cash or a description of any other property that's not cash that's been contributed, and then also whether or not the charitable entity provided any goods or services in consideration of the contributed property.
Mm-hmm.
Very critical there. Very critical because, you know, we've talked about that before with, you know, giving money to a church, for example, and not getting back that saying no goods or services were given in consideration of this contribution. And then, of course, the description and good faith estimate of the value of any goods and services that they are given back, to let them know, because you can take the difference. So, you know, if you give $150 and you get a dinner out of it, and it's $50 for the dinner, you know, $100 contribution, there you go.
Right.
So very important there. These two rules come into play, which are the non-cash contribution rules, qualified appraisal required, and the contemporaneous written acknowledgement requirement, which says that if you give over $250, you need to get something back from the charity, you know, that outlines those three things that I just went over.
All right.
So let's get to the facts. This is called Bryan versus Commissioner. It was the court decision was issued on July 11th, 2023, and the facts of the case are basically that the Bryans bought some land in the town of Ramapo, New York. And I apologize if I'm mispronouncing that, but that's the way I believe it's pronounced. So in 1996, they buy some real property from the town of Ramapo, in the town of Ramapo, for $3.5 million. And their goal, Lockwood, was to, they believe this would be a great quarry spot.
Mm-hmm.
So they believe that there were minerals under this property, and they would be able to go and mine this property, dig it out as a quarry, and, you know, hey, look, they're going to have a big return on investment because this was going to be valuable land. And lo and behold, as they go through many years, in fact, 9 years later, and they come to the conclusion that, you know, they cannot get the permitting, they can't get the environmental sign-off, you know, relative to create a quarry for this. And then the town of Ramapo actually goes as far as to say, look, we're just going to rezone you. We're taking this from a commercial property to a residential property. And the Bryans actually sue the town of Ramapo and say, well, we're going to sue you over this change in zoning because we believe this thing could be a quarry. And ultimately, a settlement was reached. And what happened is the town of Ramapo said, hey, look, we will buy that land for $5.25 million.
Gotcha.
So we're going to buy your land from you for $5.25 million, and let's end this lawsuit. And so the Bryans say, okay, you know, we don't want this protracted litigation. We're going to go ahead and enter into this agreement with the town. We'll sell the property for $5.25 million. And, you know, that could have been the end of the story right there. But it's not. Because guess what the Bryans decided to do? The Bryans decided that they were going to take a charitable contribution because they'd sold this land to the town of Ramapo, and the town could be considered to be a charitable organization.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened is that on their tax return, they got two appraisals for this property. And I'll put appraisals in air quotes. They got a mineral appraisal, and they got a real estate appraisal. And the mineral appraisal came back, Lockwood, and said that property was worth $15 million.
Whoa.
Worth $15 million, okay? And then the real estate appraiser came back and said that the property was worth $5 million,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is not surprising. That's what the town paid for it. And so the Bryans decided, hey, look, we're going to report the value of this contribution at the mineral appraisal level. Right. We're going to report it at $15 million.
Right.
Okay? And then what we're going to do on our tax return is we're going to back down that amount. So we're going to say that the gift was $15 million, and then we're going to say, you know, out of an abundance of caution, we're only going to take a deduction of $5 million because we want to avoid a dispute with the IRS over the value of the transferred property and a potential substantial gross valuation misstatement penalty.
Right.
So, hey, look, IRS, we're doing you a favor. We're doing you a favor because we're not going to take our full deduction. We're only going to take half our deduction because we're that generous of a taxpayer.
Wow.
You think that worked, Lockwood?
No. I see the plan, but it's also an issue of apples and oranges too. That you know, you're using mineral values, but the town purchased it for real estate value. So
that's right.
you know, I can, boy, red flags should have gone up everywhere. That's the thing that surprises me.
I got a kick out of, you know, I just read you kind of I quoted what they wrote on their return. You know, the fact that we're only claiming $5 million to avoid a dispute with the IRS. I mean, you're right, Lockwood. If you want to wave a red flag, that's a really good way to do it right there.
Well, I mean, it's so, yeah. I apologize. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, here we are. They claim the $5 million deduction. Of course, their return gets audited. Of course, they go and try to fight this in tax court. And the tax court just looks at it and says, okay, do you have a contemporaneous written acknowledgement from the town relative to, you know, the fact that you donated this real property, that there wasn't any good or services in consideration of the contributed property, and there wasn't a description of the good faith estimate of any values of the goods and services provided? And the short answer was, we got the settlement agreement, and the tax court said, that's not good enough. You know, you have to strictly abide by those requirements of that contemporaneous written acknowledgement, and you can't produce that document. So you're dead on issue number one, all right? The other thing is, and you kind of hit the nail on the head with this one, Lockwood, which is, let's get to your appraisals. You know, you've got two appraisals, one that says, you know, $15 million mineral, one that says $5 million real estate. And, you know, they said the court ultimately concluded it was highly unlikely that the Bryans will be able to obtain approval, zoning changes, permits. Well, they just tried for 9 years,
right?
You know, to get those changes, and they couldn't come up with it. They ended up having to sue the town, you know, to try to keep their zoning. So clearly the court said, hey, we believe that the reasonable value would be $5 million of the stated value. But we also won't consider that because your appraisals that you received, mm-hmm. when you went and obtained those appraisals, you did not inform them of the settlement agreement that you guys had reached with the town.
Ooh.
And so therefore, in order to be what's determined to be a qualified appraisal, they did not have the information, Lockwood, when they were the appraisers, that is, did not have the information to, you know, be able to give a good faith estimate of value because they were not provided all the information by the taxpayer, which in this case was the settlement agreement with the town.
You know,
so they basically said, even if you would have had an appraisal saying $5 million, we're not gonna believe that carries the day because it's not qualified.
Right.
So here you go. You know, you've got kind of this outlandish case. And, you know, listeners might be like, well, Andrew, you know, I'm not going to donate property. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. But I think the take-home points are this, which are, number one, strictly construed requirements. And if you can't meet those strictly construed requirements, then the court's not going to look favorably upon you. So you need to understand that. Number two is that make sure that you get these contemporaneous written acknowledgments from these charities.
If you can get
them from the charity, then you know you're going to be okay for
right.
goods and services. I think that is very important because that does come into play because there's a lot of our listeners out there that do give $250 or more, you know, to charities at one time and do need to make sure they get that contemporaneous written acknowledgement statement.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing is, if you do donate non-cash items, make sure your appraisal is qualified. Give your appraiser all the information. You know, make sure that you jump through every hoop, because, again, if you lose these charitable deductions, that is money that you're going to have to pay back to the IRS with interest and penalties tacked on, and it's not a favorable place to be.
Not only that, in this case, the Bryans have given the property away, so they have lost that asset, and now they're being penalized, and it's out of their own failures that they're paying penalties. So they're actually getting penalized on two levels. You said a few at the opening, the tax court is a court of laws, not a court of equity. And I thought that was very interesting in that observation. The other aspect of this, and you bring up a very interesting point, Andrew, and again, Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins, and we're talking with him about life and taxes. The other interesting aspect of this, as you just mentioned a moment ago, the disclosure to the appraiser, so that the appraiser knows why he or she is providing this appraisal and can justify their conclusion. I think that's very important. I hadn't even considered that. So I have to, if I'm giving land and I'm telling, you know, I'm giving it to a church or an organization, and as a charitable donation, I need to say to the appraiser, this is the intent. You need to know that. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, definitely. And any details surrounding the gift. That was a big thing that got the Bryans in trouble, which was, you know, they did not let these appraisers know that, hey, look, we reached a settlement agreement in a lawsuit, and that, you know, here's what the terms of that were, so they could take that into consideration. You know, so it's very, very important, again, to these strictly construed statutes. You must jump through all the hoops if you want to make sure your charitable deduction is going to be blessed by the IRS at the end of the day.
As we get closer to the end of the year, there are some folks that are probably thinking about this, and I just, as we close, want to remind you, be cautious and take advantage of the services at Harvell and Collins, and particularly those provided by Andrew Foster, A. Foster at Harvell and Collins, or if you want, call them directly, 252 area code 726-9050, 726-9050. Andrew, as always, thank you very much. And it's full disclosure to those who are thinking about making charitable deductions. Be prepared. Andrew, thanks for your time.